the security interest for titled vehicles, and the other one is the odometer readings that were passed by the 85 legislative session and applied to all automobiles and the registration as well as titles. There was some objection to the amendments that we put in last week or so, so we amended it again yesterday to try and please everybody, and that says now that a car up till the time it's 8 years old will have to record its odometer. After it's 8 years old, you don't have to worry about it anymore. I'd recommend that we pass this by unanimous vote.
Are there questions or is there further discussion on Representative Jones's motion? Is there objection to reporting House Bill 2209 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is House Bill 2235.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, this is House Bill 2235 and it deals with fire premium tax and the insurance guarantee fund. Mm-hmm. Under present law, if an insurance company becomes insolvent, other insurers are assessed to cover the outstanding liabilities of the insolvent company. Insurers may then offset these assessments against their annual fire insurance premium tax, which in turn affects the revenues available to operate and fund the state fire marshal's office. This House bill provides that an amount equal to the offsets or the amount needed to fund the budget of the state fire marshal, whichever amount is less, is transferred to the general fund, to the state marshal fund. Your subcommittee amended the bill by adding that such a transfer would require action by the appropriate legislative review agency or Ways and Means or the Emergency Board, whichever's in session at that time. Also, at the request of the Insurance Commissioner and with the support of the House Revenue and School Finance Committee Chairman, the bill was further amended to exempt the Insurance Guarantee Fund from liability for losses resulting from investments of pension plans or profit-sharing plans by the trustees of those plans. The subcommittee amendments reduce the risk to the state's guarantee system, but do not diminish the guarantee for any annuity, contract, or policy owned by a private individual. Our other action of our subcommittee, we revolved around amending the bill to require that membership in a professional association could be a condition of issuance of insurance by that company that requires membership. And also we added a provision that makes local jurisdictions responsible for the payment of workers' compensation insurance coverage for all the subject workers. There was no opposition and strong support from the insurance industry on behalf of the bill, and I would urge it to be sent out with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion? If not, the motion before us is Senator Hannah's motion that House Bill 2235 go to the floor of the House due pass. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 2318 relating to child care. Representative Kopetsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2318 is actually part of it is the budget for the Oregon Child Care Commission, and an amount of $21,000 which pays for the commission's expenses. And also in the bill is $100,000 for a grants program to be used to provide information and referral services and development costs for model employer daycare programs in the 87-89 biennium. Funding for a new position in DHR Office of the Director to coordinate child care programs within the department and work with the business community is also included. An amendment to the existing cooperative child care pilot grant program was also approved by the subcommittee to broaden the definition of community programs eligible for grant funds to include students in high school or other pre-college programs. I urge your adoption of this very fine measure.
Discussion? The motion is to send House Bill 2318 to the floor of the House with a due pass. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is House Bill 2324. Representative Kopetsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. During the interim, the Mental Health Division convened a task force on civil commitment of the mentally ill. The work of that task force was carefully reviewed and revised by the House Judiciary, which is the bill you have before you, 2324. The measure does expand the definition of mental illness for purposes of civil commitment and revises commitment procedures. The objective of the bill is to permit intervention early during a psychotic episode and prevent further deterioration and possible institutionalization of the mentally ill person. Funds for expanded services for the at-risk population are included in the Mental Health Division budget. The subcommittee appropriated $200,000 from the general fund to the emergency board for possible distribution for unanticipated civil commitment workload, including county representation of the state's interest during commitment proceedings. I urge your yes vote.
Discussion?
Mr. Yes, can I ask one question?
Yes, you may.
I received a letter from my county commissioners, and they had a concern about county council would be required to represent a person who, as an example, was picked up and went through the pre-commitment hearing. The county would have to provide legal representation. Is that correct or not? They were concerned about the fiscal impact for the counties.
Senator Hannon, depends on which day you actually received the letter. What we ended up doing was directing to, in the bill requires the county commission to make a determination of whether they want to assign these cases to a county council as policy or to assign them to the district attorney. So we have reserved $200,000 in the E fund. And the counties can come in, and they're going to look at perhaps developing a formula, okay, because some counties, and I believe your county actually is one of the counties that has a lot of these commitment proceedings. We want to try to develop a formula that would address your county, Multnomah, Clackamas, Marion, and Matilla County.
So does that reflect on my constituency?
Pardon?
I'll support it. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, we had the same question, Lynn.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maker.
One of the items in the bill, obviously, is a $200,000 appropriation. And I've had a number of district attorneys contact me saying, that's not enough. Stop. You got to put more in it. And I don't think that any of us know the answer to that, whether it's not enough or too much or just right. I make the assumption that, like other places where counties beat up on us for more money, the same thing could happen here. I don't think this closes the door, but it does put at least an outside limit on what we expect it to cost.
Certainly had short memories of us picking up the court costs, didn't they?
They sure did.
I'd call the members' attention to the amendments, which are in our packet of material. The amendments to House Bill 2324. If you'll note, Section 9 is amended on line 11.
30.
I'm sorry, Section 39. We are trying to identify that the reservation is for those costs which we believe represents the state's interest in that commitment. The intention is to try to restrict this to the impact that we're having as opposed to opening the door for a lot of other county costs that they want to dump on us. So we're trying to create a situation here where we'll pay our share and pay theirs. And when they come to the emergency board, obviously it's this language that's going to help us try to establish a reasonable control on that cost.
Okay, further discussion.
Just a final comment. Yes, thank you. Some counties already provide counsel in these proceedings, and that's a little bit of what makes this difficult is that some counties are already doing this, and so we'll have a little more time to come up with some sort of adequate distribution.
Okay, now, further discussion. Do I dare ask if there's objection to Representative Kopetsky's motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is House Bill 2420, Representative Van Vliet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This House Bill 2420 addresses a serious problem that was on some of the campuses, and this bill helps solve that after considerable discussion. Campus security officers do not presently have peace officer authority, which means that they do not have any authority to use probable cause arrest authority to stop, restrain, question, or arrest suspected offenders. The committee discussed the difference between existing campus security officers and the proposed special campus security officers. The members of the committee also discussed a number of other restrictions which they expected prior to approval of this amendment. As amended, this measure will allow colleges and universities within the state system to appoint special security officers within the specific authority mentioned above. The amendment further stipulates that a number of such officers is limited to 20 statewide, and they will receive training at the Board on Police Standards and Training Police Academy. However, these officers are not to carry firearms. Recommend your approval.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kearns.
The members of the Senate saw a far different measure at one point in the session. This one is probably casts a shadow of about like what if you took the original bill and turned on its edgewise. It's not at all the same bill. They should be aware of that in advance. No firearms, only 20, must have Bureau training, and that's that.
No PRS reclassification.
No, none of that jazz, no hot pursuit, no powers off of the campus. All that jazz out.
What about CB radio?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannan.
When you make your motion, I'll support it so you don't have to go through a roll call, but when it does come to a vote on the floor, I intend to vote against it. Because it's this power in 1987. In 1989, after the first so-called peace officer is beaten with his flashlight trying to arrest someone, they're going to be back in here asking for the authority to carry guns. And then you're just going to open up the whole can of worms. So I just am serving notice right now that I'd rather vote no against it, because I just hate to see her. If there's a problem, I don't have any problem with what some of the campuses are already doing. They have contracts with the local communities to invite the officers in at specified times. But anyway, I'll go ahead and help you get it out.
We won't give them flashlights either.
Probably not. Pin light batteries.
Mr. Chairman, you can see we weren't able to satisfy all the liberals, but I think
Further discussion on House Bill 2420.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wires, and I'll go to the House.
I'd like to join with Senator Hannan.
Further discussion, Representative Kopeski.
Well, just to note, they probably could find some ammunition against this bill from editorials written by a University of Oregon Emerald editor 20 or 25 years ago if they dug into the file. But I'm going to support the measure.
I'm prepared to ask the clerk to call the roll if the members would like. I think I would prefer that since there's been, in fairness, I think we should. There's been some questions raised. Let's call the roll on House Bill 2420. The motion is to send it to the floor of the House. Do pass as amended.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman. Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannan.
No.
Trobe.
Aye.
Wires.
No.
Yee.
Aye.
Kearns.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Okay. Next is House Bill 3167 relating to statewide television. This is where we get on top of the wheat
field. This is where we get on top of the wheat field, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 3167 is probably one of the more significant measures of the session. This measure establishes a committee to study the feasibility and implementation of a statewide educational television network, commonly known as EdNet. The subcommittee amended the bill to provide a $350,000 general fund appropriation to the emergency board, which may be allocated to the appropriate agency or agencies upon submission of a plan for such expenditures to the emergency board. The committee is to make its report before July 1st, 1988, the governor, the emergency board, and any other legislative body or other committee which the speaker or the president may direct. Membership on the committee and the specific charge to the committee are included within the text of the bill. The subcommittee recommends the measure be reported to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Further discussion? If not, the question is Representative Mason's motion on House Bill 3167 that it be reported to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. And the final item on the agenda is House Bill 3340, Representative Van Vliet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 3340. School districts are responsible for education of delinquent youths placed in youth care centers within their districts. This particular bill attempts to address that issue. The quality of education has varied greatly on some of these youths. The purpose of the measure is to reaffirm that responsibility and to require submission of an educational plan to the Department of Education or from responsible districts. The measure also approves $139,000 for distribution the second year of the biennium. Distribution will be on a per capita basis, with districts receiving approximately $500 per youth. The additional funds will supplement other revenues available from education of these students, which is basically basic school support. And the committee recommended approval.
Discussion on Representative Van Vliet's motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker.
That's what he said. There's an appropriation of $139,000 with the
second year.
It's in the second year.
Yeah, we'll allow him enough to put the plans together the first year.
Is this phase two of the plan that 2 years ago?
I can't answer that. I'd have to address the
The question was, is this phase two of some of the initial plans that were discussed 2 years ago as to moving away from the difficulties of this particular group of children? Funding.
Senator Meeker, this is a long-term issue. I think that it relates to the downsizing of McLaren and the increasing difficulty of the children placed in some of these facilities. And a long-term problem with any school district to accept the responsibilities they have. It would be a carrot and a stick.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's a good idea, and I support it. I think everybody ought to be aware of the fact that the carrot may be very, very tiny
right now,
and it probably has a whole lot of fertilizer feeding it, and the carrot's going to get bigger. So I just think we all ought to be aware of it, that it could happen. I think it's a good idea, but still we ought to be aware of the cost.
It has little pieces of 94-142.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Further discussion? Is there objection to Representative Van Vliet's motion that House Bill 3340 be reported to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, announcements.
Salary set 9:30.
Salary sub will finish at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Is that what I heard?
9:31.
You're not scheduled to meet.
We have Senator Wires' committee.
Natural Resources and Economic Development, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Transportation regulation at 8:30.
Okay.
One bill.
Education at 1 o'clock.
I missed four.
Education is going to switch over to 1 o'clock.
Well, I don't mean education. I'm sorry. Human resources.
Human resources.
We have a, if I remember right, we have a little tiny bill at 8:30 called Basic School Support.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the committees that meet early try to concentrate on your early time so we can free up a little time to finish up salary at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll excuse members. Senator Wires, your committee may go further. We'll try to get members excused from one to serve the other. And you're going to meet?
Probably safety as usual, except probably at 1.
Okay. And then I think we ought to plan another full committee. Well, we should have enough material for another full committee tomorrow afternoon. All right, let's go at 5 o'clock full committee again, if that's too offensive. Thank you. We're adjourned. When that meeting's going to be on the
June 18, 1987, full committee meeting at 5 o'clock p.m.
Representative Kopetsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The recommended budget for the Department of Land Conservation and Development totals slightly in excess of $7 million. This includes $4.4 million of funding for administration and $2.6 million for grants to local governments and other state agencies. The plan amendment and periodic review activities of the agency will be enhanced with one professional and one secretarial position to be financed with federal funds. In addition, one other professional position is recommended to be financed by 50% by the general fund. The grants portion of the recommended budget shows a significant increase from the governor's budget due to a restoration of the grant program. The governor had not recommended these be continued. These are grants to all acknowledged cities and counties for activities such as amendments to the plans and keeping maps and inventory data current. However, the committee did recommend the maximum annual grant to any city be limited to $10,000. The program will be financed with savings produced by reductions in the administrative portion of the budget and by additional general fund revenues of approximately $709,000. This was a well thought out, if you will, budget. It's a healthy compromise, and I encourage your yes.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Rick, would you mind calling the roll, please?
Senators Maker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Kerens.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
No.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. House Bill 5040 will report to the House floor due pass. The next budget bill is House Bill 5058, in which I'm carrying. House Bill 5058 is a bill that requires an additional $880,000 general fund to the 85-87 appropriation for engine defense. And before we all come out of our chair wondering what has happened, this is addressing a cash flow problem, since the statute will not allow us to go from one biennium funding to the other. It is felt that this money has been moved out of the prospective biennium to this current biennium, so that bills that will come in this biennium, because of an increased billing problem, will be sufficed to answer that any of this money that is not paid in engine and defense will be then carried over as an ending balance in the general fund. Any questions? Rick, call the roll.
Senators Maker. Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Kerens.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And House Bill 5058 will report to the House with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 5504, the Racing Commission. Senator Wires, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is the operating budget for the Racing Commission. It provides an other funds limitation of $1.7 million, which is funded from paramutual racing proceeds. It continues the current level of service and continues programs approved by the 1985-87 Emergency Board. The committee approved continuation of improved drug testing and added funds for video coverage of the State Fair Race Week. The budget is reduced by $4,000 to maintain agency's out-of-state budget travel at an appropriate level. Glad to answer any questions.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Hearing none, Rick, call the roll, please.
Senators Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Kerens.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And Senate Bill 5504 will report to the House floor with to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation. If it's okay with the members, we'd skip the next on the agenda until we have a full complement. Senate Bill 5553, would you mind carrying that, Representative Hanneman, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is the funding bill for homeowners and renters relief program, and the general fund portion of that, of the senior citizen property tax deferral program. Amount of $138 million for HARP, the result of the most recent estimate for the program under current law. $21.5 million for the senior deferral account. It's the estimated difference between the program expenses and the amount which have or will be repaid from the liquidation of deferred property taxes. Move its approval.
Further discussion on Representative Hanneman's motion? Questions? If not, will you call the roll on the motion that House Bill, Senate Bill 5553 be referred to the floor of the Senate with a due pass?
Senators Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trowe.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Karen.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky. Yes.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried.
Senate Bill 5551, the basic support for schools. Representative Mason, please.
I suppose you would expect me to discuss this.
Yes.
This is the biennial appropriation for state aid to school districts. The governor's revived proposal adds $30 million to the $993 million in the printed budget using a shift from the 87-89 capital construction appropriation outside the expenditure limitation to make room under the ceiling. The additional $30 million is intended to hold districts harmless as to previous levels of state aid for the 1987-88 and to restore funding for lost billings for special educational programs. $17 million of the amount is generally available to enhance the level of state aid within the existing distribution formula for 1988-89. This is the basic school support bill. It totals out a little bit over $1 billion. It also exempts out capital construction from the expenditure limitation. Pretty cut and dried, and there it is.
Further discussion? Representative Kopetsky.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to vote yes on this, but I also believe that it's about $115 million short of what it ought to be because of the fact last time there was $145 million, as I recall, for the property tax relief program. And I haven't seen a bill going to the floor that provides significant increased revenues for basic and some sort of property tax relief measure. But I recognize this is the arena of compromise, and this is the best we can get.
Is there some more in the drawer yet, Representative? Is there further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative McCracken.
The issue of the capital construction being exempt from the spending limit is because there's an emergency in the state of Oregon due to prison overcrowding, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Rick
It would have been a whole lot simpler for everyone had the capital construction portion of this budget been in a separate bill. It is my understanding that originally that was the idea. And I think everyone ought to have that right out here on the table, that by connecting the basic school support fund and the emergency thing, you're doing two things in one motion. I, for one, want to see basic school support increase. There was a bill that passed that was on the floor of the Senate that did that, substantial increases in basic. I just think this is a cute little maneuver, and to show my objection to the principle of that cute little maneuver, I intend to vote no.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hanneman.
This is the first time in 24 years that I've been here
that I voted against basic school support increases. It's an uncomfortable situation, and it's because of the technical way that it comes to the full committee that I have to vote that way. But I can tell you that I'll wring anybody's neck in my district or around the state that says I'm against increased aid when this state has the money for basic school support because it's outside the expenditure limitation. I have no choice.
Ditto, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other discussion or vote explanations? If not, Rick, call the roll, please.
Senators Maker.
No.
Roberts.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
No.
Kerens.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representatives Van Vliet.
No.
Hanneman.
No.
Jones.
No.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And Senate Bill 5551, the basic school support bill, will report to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Other bills reported out of committee. Senate Bill 130. Senator Wires, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Water rights established before
19... challenging the accuracy of that information. It also imposes a deadline by which that must occur. In addition, House Bill 2070 exempts financial records of non-retired employees from disclosure under the public records laws and allows TERS to make lump sum payments in those instances where the monthly benefit payment would be $30 or less. What I did, members of the committee, was ask that those bills, which were truly glitch or housekeeping bills that have been around either through the at the request of the TERS board or the interim committee, be pulled together into one bill, and that's what you have before you today. I urge your yes vote.
Is there further discussion concerning this bill? Is there an objection to sending this bill to the House floor with a due pass recommendation by any member? Hearing no objection, it will be done. House Bill 2769, relating to voting. Representative McCracken, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. House Bill 2769 expands titling and licensing requirements to include drift boats more than 10 feet in length and inflatable rafts more than 12 feet in length. Qualifying non-motorized boat fees will be used for construction and maintenance of boat launching facilities in areas appropriate to the non-motorized user group. Current facility maintenance and development is financed by unrefunded marine fuel tax and is dedicated to motorized boater needs, primarily on lower waterways. It is estimated an additional 30,000 licenses will generate approximately $580,000. The budget and expenditure limitation to administer and maintain the new programs must be presented to the emergency board for approval or not included in this bill. The issue being addressed is access for non-motorized boats who cannot benefit from dedicated funds for the purpose of motorized boats. There is some controversy on the measure, and we would see how it would do on the House floor. So I'd ask your courtesy to allow that to occur.
Is there further discussion? Is there an objection?
I object.
Representative Hanneman.
I will
and Jones.
Also.
Representative Hanneman, Jones, and Gilmore, for the record, object. Any further objections? Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 3019. Senator. Wires is not here. Is there anybody that would be apropos and carry the bill?
He might be in his committee room.
Senator Hammond.
Last time I saw him, it was a party up there.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members, House Bill 3019 creates a Deschutes River Management Committee. It was previously approved by the committee, but it has been additionally amended in the Senate committee to change the sunset provisions to end only the committee in 1991, continuing the direction of the Parks Division to manage this area.
This bill's already been approved once, and I would recommend that we send it back out with a new pass recommendation as amended.
Is there further discussion on the motion?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, very briefly a question.
Yes. Representative Hannon?
There were several Deschutes bills, Senator Hannon. Is this bill more restrictive or tend to restrict the river to the traditional or current numbers of boats on the Deschutes? Is that the way it tends to go?
Well, Mr. Chairman, in response to that, this plan deals with the lower 100 miles of the Deschutes River, and I think that what it ultimately will probably apply to will be some type of a permit system. But that's down the road. That's something that would have to be established after public hearings or whatever in the future. But that's not in this by any means. It's not with this bill, and it's certainly not the intent. It's to
one further
have
question
some consistent
very quickly.
Management.
Does that affect all angling or only watercraft?
Watercraft.
Okay, thank you.
Is there further discussion? Is there an objection to returning this to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, it will be done unanimously. I believe that completes the agenda. Thanks. Under announcements. Good work, well done. Keep it up.
Mr. Chairman, we ought to set the stage for our next full committee meeting, and I'm not sure that we're ready to say tomorrow at 5 we'll have an agenda, but I would like to have the members hold that time. I think we would. What have we got? We've got potentially an agenda at 5, a fairly good one tomorrow. We may try to move that forward in the afternoon, but at least don't leave in the afternoon until you notice. Let us know where you are. It might be the way to do it. And then salary subcommittee.
8:29 a.m.
And you will be done by 10 o'clock at the latest?
Tonight?
No, tomorrow.
8:30? Is that 8:30 tomorrow morning?
Yeah, a.m.
A.m., 8:30 a.m.
We'll be finished in the morning.
I've heard that before.
Other subcommittees?
Public safety, Mr. Chairman, at 1. And we don't have too many bills left. Maybe
the Natural Resources Subcommittee is scheduled at 8 o'clock in the morning. They were supposed to meet.
This case is on call. We don't have anything up right now.
Natural Resource was supposed to meet right after this meeting. Unfortunately, the chair is.
We're going to see what it does in the Senate. Once that thing dies in the Senate.
The chair is supposed to be around. I'd ask the Natural Resources Committee. I'd ask the Natural Resources Committee to convene if they would, and let's see if we can get it done. I will act as the chair. Okay. We're adjourned.
Joint Ways and Means Full Committee, Friday, June 19, 1987, Hearing Room F, 4 p.m., Senator Thorne presiding.
Other than budget bills before us on our agenda, and we will start through the agenda unless someone wants to have us switch back to the roll call, we'll start through the agenda on the by unanimous consent means it saves a lot of time, more than I had thought, in calling the roll. And if the members have any concern with that, please let us know and we'll switch back to the other system. And I think we're short of. Yeah. Okay. Need some work. Okay. While we're.
Chair, we're all right on quorum.
We're all right on quorum. Okay. I've just been advised that Senate Bill 142, which is the second bill on our agenda, need some additional work. Is that correct? Can someone help us, Sue?
Mr. Chairman, we need to change the budget report.
Okay. Is there objection then to letting that bill slip back to the sub? Senator Wires' sub.
He's behind it.
Can pick that up in the morning.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. It does not need to go back to sub. The action that was taken is correct on the amendments.
The budget report that's attached on our agenda is in there. And we can correct. Can
Can we correct that as we proceed through the agenda?
It's the dollar amount that's incorrect. It should read 198,000 even.
That's easy to correct. 198.
That's in there, right?
It's 800.
It is or isn't.
198,000.
See, I don't have it. That's
the I got it.
We, while we're talking about errors, could we just stand these for a second on one other one? I was concerned about the reprint. This word should not be in there.
That bill will see it started.
Oftentimes, the summary is not amended in the amendments. Okay. Let's check the amendments. Would staff check the amendments on House Bill 2760
on the summary?
Is that yours, Jack?
Okay. The question is, Jack, the summary establishes a mandatory employment, etc. Would you verify the amendments for us when we get to that? I'm of the impression that the amendments are probably correct, but the major summary may not have been amended. So if you could check that, and when we get to the major, Jack, we'll see what you come up with.
So it's not.
Okay. Now, now we're ready. The first item on the agenda is Senate Bill 23 relating to watershed enhancement. Senator Wires.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. At the present time, no interagency program exists which provides information, funding, and technical assistance at the local level for landowners or groups interested in watershed enhancement. Senate Bill 23 establishes the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board to encourage restoration and to approve funding for local watershed enhancement and management projects. The bill allows individuals, organizations, and agencies to request the board to provide technical and financial assistance to develop the project. The committee amended the bill to clarify that the Water Resources Department will be responsible for both project oversight and the day-to-day operations of the board. An appropriation of $139,978 was made to the Water Resources Department for this purpose. A $15,000 appropriation was made to the Soil and Water Conservation Division for its requirements under the bill. And finally, $500,000 was appropriated to the board for projects.
Okay.
All sounds very simple and straightforward.
Senator Wires, thank you. Are there questions or is there discussion on Senate Bill 23? Members would call that the major water bill of the session in terms of enhancement, pond improvements, etc. Is there objection to Senator Wires' motion that Senate Bill 23 be reported to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, is so ordered. The next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 142, again relating to water. Senator Wires and the members are aware of the error in the budget report. The dollar amount should be $198,000 even rather than $198,231. Senator Wires.
The records of the Water Resources Department are not 100% accurate in terms of current property ownership or location of property to which a water right attaches. Senate Bill 142 is an effort to obtain current data on water rights and, in some cases, water use. As the Water Resources Department updates its water right and permit records with current land ownership information, it will request the person shown in the updated report, the records, to verify that the person owns the land to which a water right or permit is attached. The bill also requires government entities, including state and federal agencies, local government units, irrigation and water control districts, to submit an annual water use report. In addition, owners or operators of wells will be required to conduct a pump test at least once every 10 years and report the results to the department. The committee appropriated $198,000 to the emergency board for financing of this act. The Water Resources Department will appear before the emergency board once its reorganization is completed and request whatever portion of the financing is necessary at that time. They wanted $340,000, as I recall, but we reasoned with them about the fact that we've approved additional computerization in this budget cycle, and reasoned with them that they should begin using that. As the computers come on the line, they can begin conducting these functions. And after we made that suggestion, the director then recommended this $198,000 figure, and everybody went away happy. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Wires. Discussion?
Yes.
Representative Gilmore.
You mentioned the every 10 years of a water test or a pumping test on wells. Is that all wells? Domestic?
No.
And irrigation?
I can help with the answer. The reference in ORS does exempt domestic wells, wells for livestock purposes, and there's a list that I recollect the statute. Can you find the reference?
It's line 7 of page 2, ORS 435-545 are those that are exempt.
Just wanted to get that on the record.
Okay. Further discussion or questions? Would there be objection then to Senator Wires' motion that Senate Bill 142 report to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation?
This is very high priority to the department.
Yes. No objection? So ordered. Next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 180 relating to veterinary medicine. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 180 modifies the existing statutes to more clearly define the what is the practice of veterinary medicine. This bill would grant rulemaking authority to the Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and it would not impact or take away from anyone that is involved in raising animals or involved in agriculture in the treatment of those animals. And this bill does not change the existing law, which allows also farmers, ranchers, and other individuals to practice veterinary medicine on their own animals. And Mr. Chairman, apparently there was a question in regards to Pendleton green growers, and we have a response from Ms. Nan Newey that indicated that has been taken care of in the bill, and it would not prevent cooperative from being able to sell veterinary medicines to individuals who come in. And that would be addressed possibly in the future by the rulemaking authority if there was some problem there. Senate Bill 180 also includes some technical adjustments to current statutes. For example, the State Board has the authority to certify euthanasia technicians and their employers or employees. This bill allows the board to charge fees to recover the cost of administering that program. And just so the Ways and Means is aware, the Subcommittee on Public Safety also approved the governor's recommended budget that related to the fees. The technician registration fee is $25. Employer's annual registration fee is $25. And the technician's annual recertification fee is $10. This only requires the approval of the full Ways and Means Committee and will not be part of the bill once it goes to the floor. But Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think Senate Bill 180 tries to address a need and legitimate concern that those who practice veterinary medicine have been trying to get passed for several sessions, and I would urge its passage.
Thank you. Are there questions? Objection then to Senator Hannon's motion that Senate Bill 180 go to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Hearing none, so ordered. Next item is Senate Bill 282 relating to the Oregon Resource and Technology Development Corporation. Representative McCracken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Senate Bill 282 was involved in the budget discussions for the Oregon Resources and Technology Corporation in its budget bill, House Bill 5005. what the subcommittee did to Senate Bill 282 after it had been through trade and economic development on both sides of the building was to make technical, organizational, and procedural changes, and it subjects the agency to laws governing all state agencies. And the agency is sunsetted on June 30th, 1991. There was a time when the ORTDC and the Trade and Economic Development Committee thought that it ought not to be subject to executive and legislative control. And at that time, then, it was decided they didn't need a budget. And after discussions with the governor and negotiations between the executive department and the Trade and Economic Development Committee, these changes were agreed to. And we recommend your approval. And when this moves, we can go ahead and send the budget out.
Thank you, Representative McCracken. Is there discussion? If not, is there objection to Representative McCracken's motion on Senate Bill 282 that requires the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 531. Senator Trobe.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mm-hmm. The AFS pays pharmacists for drugs dispensed to clients based on cost of goods plus a dispensing fee. There's no existing statute requiring the division to update drug cost data on a specific time schedule. Currently, the drug file is updated monthly with all price changes effective the first of the following month. That basically means that there's a delay of almost a month in the time that they know the prices have gone up until they actually begin to pay the pharmacist those prices. So keep that delay in mind. Senate Bill 531 requires the division to revise the drug acquisition cost data at least twice monthly. The added administrative cost and cost of drugs is estimated to be $84,000 general fund, $215,000 in total funds. The reason for the cost in general fund and the total funds is that if you update the price of the drugs twice monthly, that means that basically you're paying the pharmacist more quickly the current price rather than the delay, therefore it costs more. And then the other cost involved is that they have to verify the tapes that they get from a tape service with these prices on them. And if they do it twice monthly, they need a half-staff person to help with evaluating those tapes and taking a look at them. Yeah. So that's where the cost comes. The division will request financing for these costs from the $750,000 emergency fund reservation provided for drug price increases during the interim. The committee also added provisions of Senate Bill 543, which allows persons receiving pharmaceutical services under Title 19 Medicaid to obtain these services from the pharmacy of the person's choice unless the person is enrolled in a prepaid medical plan for which the contracted services includes drugs. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Senator Trobe. Questions or discussion? Is there objection to Senator Trobe's motion that Senate Bill 531 report to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item is Senate Bill 543. Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 543 is the what has generally been referred to as the prenatal care program for eligible families. It expands eligibility for medical care to include services to pregnant women and children, initially up to the age of 2, and each year after that an additional year up to the age of 5, for whom federal financial participation is available under Title 19 of the Federal Social Security Act. Subject to the availability of funds, the Adult and Family Services Division will be able to provide pregnancy-related Medicaid coverage to women whose incomes are above the current level for being medically needed, which is about 75% of the federal poverty level, and up to 100% of the federal poverty level. That, if I remember correctly, is a family of 2 receiving no more than $603 per month. The expansion must also include full service for eligible children of families within the 100% of poverty level guidelines. In the first year of the program, children up to 2 years age, and each year thereafter, one more year of eligibility is added until the top level provided for in the federal program of 5 years. The Department of Human Resources indicated the cost of the additional medical care administration and case management services would require $6.3 million of general fund, $15.4 million of total funds during the 87-89 budget. Partial or full funding of the expansion will be contained in a later appropriation bill anticipated to be approved by the Joint Ways and Means Committee. And I would urge, I would move, Mr. Chairman, the adoption the referral of Senate Bill 543 to the Senate with a recommendation to pass.
Thank you. You've heard Senator Roberts' motion. Is there a question? Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
Is this within governor's budget? This the funding is appropriated within governor's budget.
The answer to the question, if we provide funds, is it within the expenditure limit? The answer to that question would be yes. Is that correct, Senator Roberts?
Yes, this would be in any, this would be appropriated, or that portion of it that could be appropriated would be appropriated out of whatever general funds are available under the expenditure limit.
Further discussion or clarification? If not, you've heard Senator Roberts' motion. Is there objection to his motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 630. Representative Hanneman.
Well, thank you, Senator Thorne. 630 is the Ocean Resources Planning Program. It's a brand new one. It's never been here before. Created this session, carries an appropriation that you see listed. The original estimates a week or two ago, especially by the sponsors and original fiscal impacts, up to $800,000. However, we cut that down to $260,000 other funds, which are mainly Division of State Lands funds and the general fund. We managed to fund as low as $114,000. What the program does is set up for the first time an Oregon State University Division of State Lands DLCD OCZMA a cooperative effort to take core samples from the ocean and create giant maps for everyone to see. And the purpose of the whole thing is to segregate the fisheries from those who want to mine the ocean floor someday. And when they come here to mine, we can tell them where not to because somebody wants to fish there instead.
Wow.
In other words, there will be no mining.
You've heard Senator Hannon's comments, none of which really relate to Senate Bill 630.
I object.
The chair would ask if there's objection to the motion that Senate Bill 630 report to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation.
Did I hear Representative Hanneman say he objected?
Before the question was put. Okay. Discussion? Hearing none, we've stated the motion. Hearing no objection. Okay, the next item is House Bill 2039 relating to surface mining. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2039, excuse me, increases the initial application fee for a surface mining permit from $415 to $535, and it increases the annual operating permit renewal fee from $315 to $385. This bill also allows the Department of Geology and Mineral Resources to charge an additional amount not to exceed $100 for the investigation of sites operating in violation. It is estimated the permit fee increase will generate approximately $45,000 per year. The department plans to return to the emergency board to request an expenditure limitation to reinstate one full-time field specialist. Funding for this position was not approved in the 1987-89 budget for a lack of balance in revenue. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee might indicate that the Concrete and Aggregate Producers Association that represents the quarry operators and owners came in, sat down alongside with the Department of Geology and Mineral Resources, and they all worked this compromise out. They're totally in agreement and supported the bill, and I would urge its passage.
Okay. Discussion? If not, is there objection to Senator Hannon's motion that that House Bill 2039 report to the floor of the House with a due pass? Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is House Bill 2087, Senator Karens.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and members, House Bill 2087 relates to the accounting for criminal fines and assessments, and simply deletes the 25 separate fine assessment accounts we've got now into a unitary assessment process with four categories within that to make sure the money is properly channeled to the appropriate program. And bill establishes a surplus reserve to be used to fund any shortfall in the Board of Police Standards assessments or the criminal injury compensation account. But move its passage.
Is there discussion, questions? If not, is there objection to Senator Karen's motion that House Bill 2087 report to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item was one we had a question about in the very beginning that Representative Van Vliet had, House Bill 2760. Jack, do you have a clarification?
Mr. Chairman, we all did a little checking over here and note that your motion here will relate to the printed amendments of the House. The printed amendments, the House bill, House printed amendments, describe in the major summary a mandatory program. The program reported from the Human Resources Committee is a passive pilot project. And
correct.
So the next time you see a major summary on this, it should read differently.
Okay, that's great, because otherwise it'll send up some flares.
Just a second. And those amendments are okay with the old man too.
We're assuming they are. We believe they've checked off.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay.
That did go across the bow, but it was really did.
It was up a little higher.
Shot a little high.
Yeah.
Talking about you, Tom.
That's winter time. We've got to have a little on. House Bill 2670, you've heard the explanation.
Bill on capital construction.